Let's open our Bibles today to the book of 2 Timothy. There's a passage of Scripture in chapter 1 of the book of 2 Timothy, verse 12, that I want to share with you. And my message will be on this subject: I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. Now, Paul says in verse 12, and we'll just use this as a text. I plan to go up and pick up at verse 8 in a moment. So you open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 12, Paul said, and this is the text, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Now, the Apostle Paul was confined to prison. He was awaiting execution. He knew that. He knew that he would be slain. He was already in jail. He was chained with fetters and bonds, all for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this passage of Scripture, he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's for us today. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's writing to a young preacher called Timothy. And in verse 8, he says, "Timothy, do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." This glorious apostle Paul said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I've kept back nothing profitable unto you. Whatever God's taught me, I've preached to you. Because I know woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." But my dear friend, I wish I could tell you the number of times I've heard preachers say this: "Oh, I know that's in the Bible, but I can't preach it. My church would fire me." One preacher said one time, "I have a wife and five children to support. I cannot teach all that the Bible teaches. My deacons, Sunday school teachers, ladies in the church just wouldn't receive that preaching. They wouldn't receive that doctrine. So I just don't preach it." My friends, I'm telling you, that's a tragic, terrible situation in which to be. Pleasing men instead of pleasing God Almighty. One preacher said this just recently, who's president of a school and pastor of a large Baptist church. "I believe those things: sovereignty, elective grace, particular redemption, the invincible call of the Holy Spirit, the security of the believer, the perseverance of the saint. I believe those truths. That's the truth of God's Word. But if I preached it, my church would fire me tomorrow." Well, the Apostle Paul says to young Timothy, "Young man, don't you ever be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it costs you, whatever you have to pay, whatever men do to you, I'm suffering these things. I'm in prison right now, not for being an unruly person, not for disturbing the peace, not for stealing anything. I'm here for preaching the truth of God as it is in God's Word. I'm here for telling men the truth about themselves and the truth about God and the truth about salvation. Woe is unto me if I do not tell them the truth." The apostle said, in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll depart from the truth. But don't you, he said, Timothy, don't you be ashamed of the testimony of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on in that verse and says, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of those who preach the gospel of grace. Don't shun these men. Don't separate yourselves from their company. Stand by them. Stand by them. Be one with them. Be identified with those who preach the truth of God's grace. Don't be ashamed of them. And he goes on and says, you be ready yourself to suffer affliction and persecution for preaching the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. And don't be ashamed of those who preach it. And you be ready yourself, because they that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what the Scripture says. Our Lord said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Our Lord said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. If they love me, they'll love you. If they hated me, they'll hate you. And they didn't hate our Lord because he did many wonderful works. They didn't hate our Lord because he fed the hungry and healed the sick and raised the dead. They hated him because of what he preached, his doctrine. There was a division because of what he said. And the division will be caused by what we preach if we preach the truth of the Word of God. Well, in verse 9, Paul goes on and says, he saved us. He saved us. We didn't save ourselves. Those people to whom you preached didn't save you, and you didn't save them, and they didn't save each other. He saved us. He called us, listen, with a holy calling. The Apostle Paul said, God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me. We didn't save one another. The preacher didn't save you. You can't save those people. God has to save them, and God will only save them through his word. He'll only save them through his gospel, the gospel, not a gospel, some gospel, or your gospel, but the gospel of his glory, the gospel of his grace. He saved us. He called us in an invincible way by his mighty spirit through his word, not according to our work. You didn't earn your position in the kingdom of God. You didn't earn your sonship. You didn't earn your righteousness, not by works of righteousness which we've done. According to his mercy, he had saved us. It's a holy calling, not according to our works. Watch this next line. But according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ before the world began. You see, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. Those whom he purposed to save, he saves. Those whom he purposed to call, he calls. Those whom he purposes to redeem, he redeems. He says, I'll be merciful to whom I will. I'll be gracious to whom I will. God doesn't owe us anything. Everything we have is by his mercy, and that's eternal mercy. Everything we have is by his grace, and that's sovereign grace. Everything we have is according to God's purpose, and that's an eternal purpose. Let me read it to you again in case you missed it. The Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of those who preach it. Don't be ashamed of those who preach it. You be ready to suffer affliction and persecution for the sake of the gospel. For he saved us. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose. We're the called according to his purpose. You know, everybody quotes Romans 8:28. Not many people quote it right, but everybody quotes it. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. That's where most people stop, but it goes on and says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God worketh all things after the purpose or counsel of his own will. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ. In Christ, not separate and apart from Christ. Everything we have is in Christ. Every good gift and perfect gift is from God in Christ. And he gave it to us in Christ before the world began. Let me ask you three questions. The first question is this. Did you choose God or did he choose you? Now be honest. What does the Scripture say? Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose us. Christ said to his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You will not come to me that you might have light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. God chose us. God chose us. It says, I thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. God chose us. That's the truth. That's what the Bible says. Let me ask you the second question. When did God choose you? Well, every scripture tells us he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's when God's purpose was proclaimed. That's when God's counsel was determined. That's when God's covenant was formed before the foundation of the world. Christ was the Lamb slain on Calvary, yes. In the types and pictures, yes. In the mind of God, yes. Before the foundation of the world, yes also. Why did God choose you? Those are three good questions, aren't they? Did you choose God or did he choose you? Well, you have to say, he chose me. I say, when? Well, preacher, he chose me before the foundation of the world. Well, why? According to the good pleasure of his own will. According to his purpose and grace, which was given to me in Christ before the world began. All that God does in time, he purposed to do eternally. That's right. Everything God does in time, God has purposed to do in eternity. Now look at verse 10. And Paul says in verse 10, this purpose and grace which was given us in Christ before the world began, this purpose and grace, this calling, this salvation, is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, what God purposed, Christ fulfilled in time. What God Almighty promised, Christ accomplished. What God Almighty decreed, Christ completed. This is what Paul is saying. Now, don't be ashamed of this testimony, Timothy. Don't be ashamed of me. You get ready to pay. You get ready to suffer if you preach this message. Because he saved us. And he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to our deeds, not according to our good nature and so forth, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ before the world began, but is manifest, is revealed to us by the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light to understanding through the gospel. Everything that God purposed, Christ fulfilled. Everything that God promised, Christ accomplished in time. God purposed it in eternity. Christ accomplished it in time. That's what Paul is saying in Galatians 1:15. He said, God, who separated me from my mother's womb, was pleased to call me by his grace. God's purpose and counsel took place before the world began. He said, Saul of Tarsus belongs to me. I set him apart for a holy purpose. I set him apart to be my son. I set him apart to be a chosen vessel. I set him apart to bear the gospel to the Gentiles. But in time, the gospel was manifested to Saul of Tarsus, and he came to believe on Christ. Listen to this scripture in 1 John 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God hath come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. This is eternal life. This gospel, this purpose, this grace, this mercy, which God ordained before the world began to be enjoyed by the sons of men, this gospel, this purpose, this grace, which God purposed from all eternity, was accomplished, was fulfilled, was manifest, was made for us by the appearance of our Lord right here on this earth, was accomplished for us. And God hath given that understanding in him. Now, verse 11, Paul says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. In other words, God ordained me to be a preacher of this message. God didn't call me to be a cheerleader, to jump up and down, walk the pews, and throw song books, and climb the walls, and lead people in whoop-de-doo services. God didn't call me to be a cheerleader. He called me to be a preacher. God didn't call me to be a promoter, to promote programs, and to promote denominations, and to promote great successful moves and organizations. God didn't call me to be a politician, to clean up the government, to clean up the world. God didn't call me to be an executive or a toastmaster or an after-dinner speaker. Paul says, I'm appointed a preacher. A preacher. God ordained me to be a preacher. And this is my message. Woe is unto me if I preach not this message. God deliver me. God have mercy on my soul. If I preach not this message, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is in Jesus Christ the Lord. And this then is the message we have of him, and declare we unto you. This is our message. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of those who preached it. And be ready yourself to bear the afflictions that come upon you as a result of preaching it. And this is that glorious message that God Almighty ordained redemption for some, and revealed that redemption in the purpose of his Son. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I suffer persecution because of this message. I'm in prison. Because of this message, fetters hang on my arm. Because of this message, they've already sentenced me to die. Because of this message, I'll shed my blood. But I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to declare his grace. I'm not ashamed to be identified with a crucified Lord. And I'm not ashamed of the afflictions that come upon me as a result of preaching that message and believing it. And then he tells us why. This is our text. For I know whom I have believed. I know him. I know him. I hadn't just read about him. I know him. I hadn't just heard about him. I know him. He's not just a fire escape or a doormat named Jesus. I know him. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Makes it all worthwhile. Makes it, in fact, pleasing. It makes it very gratifying because I know him. Now, this text is taken up with three things. Now, watch this. First of all, a person whom Paul knew. That's clear. You say, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed to him. So this thing is taken up with a person whom Paul knew. Secondly, it's taken up with a confidence that Paul had in this person whom he knew. He had a confidence in him, total confidence, willing to die for his glory. And this is taken up with a committal that Paul had made to this person. You with me? Paul says, I know whom, a person Paul knew. I'm persuaded, I'm confident he's able to keep that which I've committed. I've made a committal to this person. Let's go back and look at the person whom Paul knew. I know whom I have believed. Now notice he didn't say, I know what I believe. A lot of folks love to argue about what they believe. What they believe. They just believe it for a little while anyway, so no use wasting time arguing with them. They'll change their belief in a little while. Or other people say, well, I know when I believed. I can tell you when I was saved, or when God did this, and when I did that. Well, Paul didn't say, I know what, or I know when. He said, I know whom. Whom. I know whom. Everything in Paul's confession centers around a person. Everything in Paul's faith centered around a person. I know whom. I know whom. And he didn't say, I know in whom I have believed. One old man said, don't even let a preposition come between you and the Lord. I know whom I have believed. Now, some people know a lot about doctrine. We're in a day when people know a lot about doctrine. They know a lot about what their denomination believes, and they know a lot about doctrine. But I tell you this, doctrine is fine if it relates to Christ. The Bible talks about the doctrine of Christ. And doctrine is fine if it relates to Christ. But doctrine is dry, dead, cold, killing letter of the law if it doesn't relate to Christ. I may know all the fundamentals of religion and miss Christ. The Pharisees did. The Sadducees did. Saul of Tarsus had missed Christ. And yet he knew all the orthodox and the fundamental doctrines of the Scriptures. He was a student of the Scripture. So a lot of people talk about doctrine who don't know Christ. And then a lot of people know a lot about experience. Experience. They even sneer at doctrine. They make fun of doctrine. Well, I wouldn't discredit a man's experience. But my friend, listen to me. Salvation is not an experience. It's a person. And you can have an experience without knowing that person, Jesus Christ the Lord. So don't put your stock and your confidence in an experience, especially an old experience that stays old. You see, every day with Christ is a new experience. Every day with Christ is a precious experience. And a lot of people know a lot about the Bible. I hear them say, well, I know my Bible. And then they can name the books of the Bible, and they can name the writers of the Bible, and they can name the kingdoms of the Bible, and they can name the times and the seasons, and they know all these things. But every time I think of that, I think of what Christ said to the Pharisees, these Bible scholars, these fellows that knew, memorized Scripture and knew all the dates and times and kingdoms and writers and all of these things. He said, you are busy searching the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I know you. You have not the love of God in you. And that's what he said to them. I wouldn't discredit Bible study and Bible knowledge and the memorization of Scripture. Don't you miss Christ, though. Salvation is still a person. It's not a book. The philosopher says, know thyself, and to thyself be true. The Scripture says, know Christ, and to Christ be true. The theologian says, know the truth, preach the truth, study the truth. Scriptures say Christ is the truth. Doctrine takes us nowhere if it doesn't take us to Christ. And I mean to sit at his feet, not as a know-it-all, but with Mary as a humble child. Experience is emotionalism unless we experience Christ. That's so. Knowledge is vain. He that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. If we do not know him, whom to know is life eternal. The Bible will serve only to condemn us if it does not convert us and bring us to Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. A blessed person. A blessed person. Now, what's the second thing? A confidence that Paul had in that person. He says, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. I think about Abraham when I see this word persuaded. Abraham was persuaded, confident that God was able to perform all that he said. And Paul was confident that Christ could do all that he promised. You know, if suppose I owed a great debt. I'm talking about a lot of money. A lot of money. And I couldn't pay it. I had just had a terrible debt. A terrible debt. And I faced bankruptcy. And a friend said to me, I'll take care of that for you. I'll take care of that. Well, now, there are two requirements. There are two requirements. Number one, he must be willing to do it. And secondly, he must be able. Now, you see that? He can't do a thing about my debt unless he's willing to do it, unless he's able to do it. And this is what Paul is saying about the master here. He's pointing out his willingness and his ability. Christ is willing to save. He delights to show mercy. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down and take it up again. No man takes my life from me. Our Lord's willing to save men. He loved them with an everlasting love. He loved sin. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Christ didn't come into this world to get God in a good humor toward men. God was already in a good humor, or Christ wouldn't have come. He's the Son of God's love. He's the gift of God's love. For God so loved, he gave. Christ didn't come down here to get God to love me, and he came because Christ did love me. You see that? He loved sinners. He willingly took our nature. He willingly bore our sins. He willingly went to the cross. He's willing. But that's not all of it. That's just half of it. He's able. He's able to save. He's able to save our souls because, first of all, who he is. An angel can't save us. A man can't save us. A church can't save us. Only one who can save sinners is the God-man. Jesus Christ is the only God-man. You see that? There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One great high priest. That's Christ. He's able to save us because of who he is, because of what he did. He died for our sins. He met the law and obeyed it perfectly. In every jot and tittle, in the flesh, as a man, was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. That's what he did. And he's able to save us because of where he is. Where is he? Well, he's not in some holy place down here on the earth. And he's not sitting up on some shrine. He's not on the cross, and he's not in a tomb. Where is Jesus Christ? At the right hand of God. That's the hand of power, love, and acceptance. And he's able to save us because of who he is, what he did, and where he is. He's able, listen to the scripture, to do all that he promised. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to present us holy and without blame before him in love. He's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like unto his glorious body. He's able. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I'm not resting in a doctrine, denomination, experience. I'm not resting in a law, in a morality or merit. I'm not resting in works, in an evangelist or a preacher. I'm not resting in a profession, an experience, or a decision. I know whom I have believed. And I'm confident beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm persuaded in my soul, heart, and mind that he is able to do what? To keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Knowledge without faith is vain. Knowledge without faith is vain. Paul didn't say, I know, only. He said, I know, and I've committed. I've committed it to him. I've committed all things to him. I've not committed these things to the church. I've not committed them to the preacher. I've not committed them to the congregation. I've not committed them to religion. I've committed them to Christ. My soul, my heart, my eternal destiny. I've committed my sins, my past, present, and future. I've committed my home, my family. I've committed myself. I've committed everything to him. I've cast it on him. I've put it in his hands. I've trusted it in his care. Here I am, Lord, sink or swim, I go to him. Now, this is what happened back in the Old Testament. The men of old, They didn't only believe God, but they committed themselves to God. For example, Abraham. God said, Abraham, get out of your father's house and go to a land I'll show you. And the scripture says Abraham left not knowing where. Not knowing. He just committed it to God. He committed himself to God. His family, his future, everything. God said leave, he left. He believed God. Noah. God said he'd destroy the world. Noah moved with fear. Built an ark. He didn't just sit down in a chair and say, well, I believe there's going to be a judgment. I believe there's going to be a flood. No, he acted on what he said he believed. He believed God. He built an ark. See what I'm saying? Moses. Moses believed that Israel was God's people. Moses believed that God was God. Moses believed the Egyptians would be defeated. Moses left Egypt. He counted the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. He walked out. He walked out. Saul of Tarsus had his religion, but he didn't have Christ. But he walked out on this religion, turned from his idols to the living God. So this is what he's saying to us. I've committed, preacher. I don't worry about my family because I've committed them to Christ. I don't worry about church firing me. I've committed it to Christ, his church, his people. I don't worry about the future. He holds the future. I've committed it to him. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him, sink or swim. I cling to him. Now, this message is on cassette tape. I know whom I have believed. On the other side is Christ is All, a message I preached last week. If you want it, write to me. The cost is $2. Till next week, God bless you, is my prayer.
Then sing my song, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
You have just heard a sermon by Henry Mahan, pastor of the 13th Street Baptist Church of Ashland, Kentucky. Address all correspondence to Henry Mahan, Box 1700, Ashland, Kentucky.
I see the stars, I hear